So we're in Psalm 1, as I mentioned, verses 1 to 3. Again, I know a lot of you know this one by heart, but I want to really dig in and understand, because often when we quote or think about this verse, we really focus on verses 2 and 3, which is good, because it's about our attitude toward the Word of God. But we need to also understand verse 1, the negative side. Oh, I forgot to mention we have a baptism this morning right after the service, and then lunch. And Beth's not ashamed of this. She is our oldest member. Amen, Beth?
Amen.
See? She's not ashamed at all. And so today is her birthday celebration. Was it a surprise?
Yes.
Good.
I'll have words with
you can't blame it all on Ines. She was just, you know, a minor participant. Jim was part of it. Yeah, it was a conspiracy, I will admit. Verse 1. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So our title is Blessed is the Man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling again today in the name of Jesus Christ around your word. And pray, Lord, you'll bless as the word is now given, that the Holy Spirit would apply it to our hearts to grow us, to change us, to convict us, whatever the need might be. And that Jesus Christ would be in control and be glorified, and that the Holy Spirit would guide us into your truth. We give you this service and love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed. That's a good word, isn't it? Something that we all pray for quite often. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless them. Lord, bless those people over there. We all want to be blessed. And in this passage, God says that if we want to be blessed, there's some things we need to avoid. And of course, then our focus needs to be, as we'll see later, on His Word. But what we find is a lot of times in the Scriptures, when God talks about being blessed, it's tied in with the Word, which is very interesting. Let's look at a couple. Psalm 106, verse 3. And I just want to show you this isn't like a standalone truth in this passage, that blessings are connected to our attitude toward God's Word. And we as Christians need to understand God gave us His Word as our food, as our guide, as our light and our lamp and so forth. Notice verse 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. So again, God is promising a blessing upon those who what? Obey His Word. Psalm 112, verse 1. Let's look at it again. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Again, blessings, the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Blessings in verses 1 and 2 of the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's about our attitude toward the Word of God. But not just Old Testament. Let's go to Luke 11. And we'll see it's also in the New Testament that God promises blessings upon those who have the right attitude toward His Word. Luke 11 and verse 28. Turn there if you would. The Bible says, but He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. That's Jesus speaking. Because the people in the crowd talked about blessings upon his mother. And he said, rather blessed are they who hear God's word and what? Keep it. And then one more, James 1:25. And I want us to see this pattern, Old Testament, New Testament. The blessings of God are promised upon those who have a right attitude toward his precious word. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What man? The man who looks into the Word of God and does it. So back to our passage, God says, blessed is the man that, number one, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So God is talking about our walk, and we're here walking for the Lord, we're walking the Christian life. He says our walk must not be receiving counsel from the ungodly. Counsel, direction, wisdom. God says a lot about our walk in the Scriptures, does He not? This I say then, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light. So the Bible has a lot to say about our walk, but God says that our walk needs to be guided by counsel, and that that counsel cannot come from the ungodly. It needs to come from none other than God's Word. This isn't written to the unsaved. This is written to us, Christians. So do Christians sometimes seek counsel in the wrong places? Absolutely. They seek it from media. They seek it from workmates who aren't saved, family members who aren't saved. God says we can't do that. When He uses the word ungodly, He's not talking about behavior. He's talking here about the unsaved. And we need to be careful that we're not seeking direction. We're not seeking counsel from this world, this world system in general. And God has a lot to say. Go to Proverbs 21:30 if you would. But if we want to be blessed, then our counsel, our direction must come from God's Word and God's Word alone. When we seek counsel, sometimes we'll seek counsel from a friend. We'll seek counsel from the pastor. We need to make sure that it's someone who's going to give us advice from this. Amen? And not from worldly directions. That's why the Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. But He's not talking about ungodly counselors. He's talking about counselors who will give you godly scriptural advice. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. God says it doesn't exist, that it's evil, that it's wrong, that only God's counsel is right. Amen? That's true. Twice in Proverbs, God says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He says, man has all of his ideas, and yeah, there's always a way that man says that's the right way. God says it's the wrong way. If it's based on our wisdom, on our thoughts, on what we think is best, on even our experience, God says no. It's got to come from the book. Amen? And one more, Proverbs 16:9. Turn there quickly if you would. And so God starts this passage out with the negatives, the things that we must avoid if we're going to be blessed. And the first thing He says is our counsel must come from this book, not from the ungodly, not from the world. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So if we want to be blessed, and we'll talk about the word later, if we want to be blessed, number one, our counsel, our direction, our wisdom must come from God and not from the ungodly. Secondly, go back to our verse here, Psalm 1:1, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now this word stand, that's in the Bible a lot too, isn't it? Ephesians 6 comes to mind where God's giving out the armor of God. And what's He say? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and so forth. What is our stand? Our stand is we're standing on truth. We're standing on what's right, and we're standing against evil. And God says we can't do that without the armor of God in Ephesians 6. But our stand In other words, notice it says the way of sinners. Our path, direction we're going to take as we stand for the Lord, it has to come again from the Word of God. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. We'll see the contrast. We're talking here about the way. So first of all, it talks about the counsel of the ungodly. We must avoid getting our direction, our counsel, our wisdom from the world. Now it's talking about the way, the direction that we're heading. It cannot be the way of sinners. It cannot be the way of the world. It must be God's way. Notice Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Go not in the way of evil men. Our way must come from God. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. Our stand must be on God's word. We're told in Jude 1, verse 3, that we must stand for the Lord's ways. Against who? Well, against the devil and his world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out from among who? From the world. Up in verse 14. There's no communion with righteousness with unrighteousness, light with darkness. He said we have to be separate. And if we choose to go in the way of sinners, in other words, if we choose to walk in the way of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, we're not going to be blessed. We need to go in the way that God directs us, which He does in His Word. So not only are we to make sure we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but we must make sure we're not standing in the way of sinners. That our way must be directed by God. And they are two different ways, amen? Even when it comes to salvation, what did Jesus say in Matthew 7? He said, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because narrow is the gate, and straight is the way which leadeth unto life. And sadly, few there be that find it. So we must avoid the counsel of the ungodly and walking and standing in the way of sinners. Lastly, verse 1, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now the seat implies what we're resting in. Of course, we don't really get a real rest until we get to heaven. The Bible says we're here to serve. We're here to work for Jesus. But what are we sitting in? What are we resting in? And really, we have a choice. We can rest in being a scorner, which is pride, being judgmental of others, or we can rest in trusting God and living a life of humility and being a servant and so forth. This word scornful shows up a lot in the Bible. And if you go to Proverbs 14:6, God gives us a bit of direction about where being a scorner leads. And it kind of helps us understand what a scorner is, because it's one of those words we don't really use much today. But it primarily means being boastful or being a mocker. It really has a pride issue, but also a judging others issue, which those are kind of the same thing, aren't they? Proverbs 14:6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. So one thing we find out about scorners is they can't find true wisdom. Why is that? Because they're looking in the wrong place. And also Proverbs 21:24. Turn over there if you would. It says, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. So we find out a little bit more about the scorner. Pride and wrath. And then another one, Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. So a scorner causes contention or friction with other believers. God says we can't sit in the seat of the scornful. We need to be sitting in the seat of the wisdom that comes from God's word. which will lead us to never judge others, but to be constantly judging our own heart. Never to be prideful, but to live a life of humility. You know, all through the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, we're told in Proverbs. 2 Timothy 2, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And we could go on and on. We're told over and over again that we must be the opposite of a scorner. So these are the things God says we must intentionally and consciously avoid. We must avoid walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We must avoid standing in the way of sinners and avoid sitting in the seat of the scornful. And how many Christians, after they've been saved a while, spend way too much of their time looking at the sins and the problems of other Christians rather than focusing right here? The devil's good at tricking them into that. So what's the contrast? Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. This is the blessed man. This is the man that is chosen to not seek counsel from the world, to not go in the way of the world, and to not be judgmental of others and have a pride problem. This is a man who says, no, I'm going to delight in God's word. That word delight, what a beautiful word. Over in Psalm 119, let's turn over there, verse 92. David said, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. He said, if I hadn't delighted in the word of God, I wouldn't have gotten through this trial. Over in 165, Psalm 119, stay in the same chapter, go to 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Paul said in Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God. So what's the contrast? What's the promised blessing? It's those who say, I won't walk in the counsel of the world. I won't stand in the way of the world. I'm going to avoid it. And I will not sit in the seat of the scornful. I will not be judgmental of others or be prideful, but instead I will delight in this book. Verse 2, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is the key. Too many Christians treat the Bible like a novel. And it's not. In other words, I'll read a couple of verses every day and that's all I need. No. This is not written as a novel. Amen. This is God's word. It is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce the dividing of soul and spirit. It can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. No other book on earth can do that. This is our food. We're told to feed on it. You know, Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And we're told here in Psalm 1-2 that we must meditate in it. What does that mean? What does it mean to meditate in the Word of God? We'll go to Joshua 1:8 and we'll see a little bit of a clue. And this is why we must start our day not only in prayer on our knees talking to God, but we must take some time to let God talk to us while we're on our knees through this book. This is how he talks to us. And the more time we spend in it, studying it, memorizing it, and yes, reading it, the more opportunities God has to speak to us. And as he does, that gives us something to chew on through the day. That's where the word meditate comes from. If you've ever watched a cow, he chews it and then he chews it again. That's what we need to be doing. Chew it and chew it again. Verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Look what he says. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. David said in Psalm 119, 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And if we want the blessings of God, you cannot separate the blessings of God from God's word. You can't do it. He wrote it He preserved it for us. He expects us to use it. Amen? For our growth, for our direction, for our protection. We could go on and on. So Psalm 1, back in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree. So now he's going to give us a little mini simile here and say we're like a tree if we choose not to what? Walk in the way of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But if we choose to delight in God's word and meditate in it day and night, God's going to liken us to a tree. But not just any tree. A tree like the gum tree in my backyard, which is right next to the Nagata stream. A tree that always has water. Why? Because it's by the stream. So it doesn't matter if there's a drought. There's a stream. So it's always got water. Planted by the rivers of water that what? Bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. Didn't Jesus say, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much, what? Fruit. John 15:8. God wants us to be fruit-bearing Christians. He says, I'm going to liken you to a tree. But there's other times in the Bible he likens people to a tree, and sometimes it's a tree that's withered away. A tree has to have water. You know what the water is, don't you? This is the water. Washing of water by the word. We must be in the word, and God promises that will help us to be fruitful Christians. And then he finishes verse 3, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a good word. How much money and time is wasted with the world trying to prosper. And God says, as Christians, none of those things help us prosper. If we want to prosper, it is connected to God's word. Amen? And we just read that verse in Joshua 1:8. What did it say? Thou shalt make thy way prosperous and shall have good success. I know I've said this before, but the word success is in the Bible one time. Joshua 1:8. Good success. Buen suceso. That's what Roy's last name means. Good success in Spanish. Where does that come from? It comes from the Word of God. So what an amazing passage. And I know we all want to be blessed, but God just gave us the formula, if you will. Be careful that we're not getting direction from the world, or counsel, if you will. Be careful that we're not walking in the way of the world. And be careful that we're not allowing the devil to trick us into the seat of those who are constantly looking down on others in pride. That our focus is others instead of self, as far as judgmentalism goes. But instead, delight in this book. And meditate in it day and night. And look what he's promised. You'll be like a tree planted right by a spring creek coming out of the ground. There's always water. It doesn't matter how much of a drought there is. There's water there. And the tree's happy. The tree doesn't care about the drought. Because it's getting its water from its roots, which are by the stream. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the blessing promised upon those who will delight in and meditate in this precious book. So we need to do it, amen? We need to be memorizing it. We need to be studying it. We need to be reading it. We need to be exposing ourselves to its teaching and preaching whenever the church doors are open. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Blessed is the man. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. That you've given it to us. That you've preserved it for us. You've given it.